my beard.
It's quite impressive. It's sending you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true.
My beard.
You know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, 'cause I am bringing my beard to you.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and not joining me this week is JD, who's unfortunately, I don't know, somewhere doing something. But I do have with me very, very special guest. It's Mitch from Ghost of Stark Gaming. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Very fucking good, man. Just going to scooch closer to that fucking microphone so we can hear you a bit better.
How's that?
That's a bit better. Get up and fucking blow that thing. How you been anyway, dude? It's been a while since we've had you in the Allied All the Bits.
Yeah, man. It's just, you know, been busy with work and trying to catch up on stuff to get my show going properly. And yeah, all that sort of thing.
Fan-bloody-tastic. So because we don't have JD with us this week, we're going to not do a live booze review, but I do have a couple that I had in the can from one very messy night. So it's going to be interesting. But here you go. It's time for a booze review. A booze review. So, fuck it. This week, man, I was down at the local bottle shop and I seen the Little Creatures was on special. So, fuck it. Why not? I'll go grab myself a bottle of that shit.
Little what? Creatures?
Little Creatures, yeah. It's an Australian craft brewery based out of Fremantle there. So, I grabbed the IPA, like the Indian Pale Ale, mainly because of the 6.5% ABV. Yeah, no, 6.4, sorry. So, Little Creatures, only been around for a little while. Their official spiel is they reckon they were born out of the love of great beer shared by a few good mates. In particular, it was a hop-driven pale ale that they tasted in the northwest of the US that really captured their hearts and gave raise to the little brewery that began on the water's edge in Fremantle. So, their first beer they released was a pale ale, seeing it was the genesis of the company. And was presented to Australia just in time for the summer of 2001. So today they do about five different beers.
Yeah, nice.
Pale Ale is, I think, one of their most recent ones. So fuck it, let's crack the can open and have a look.
Fuck it. Cheers.
Hang on. So, like, the first thing I notice is she's cloudy, which you would expect from a IPA. Now, the reason they call it an Indian Pale Ale is because it's a lot hoppier and a generally higher ABV because back when, you know, India was still part of the empire, they would ship beer over. So they needed the hops and the extra alcohol to make sure that it survived the fucking long-ass fucking boat trip over. So, you know, that is pretty well fucking standard for an IPA. They tend to be a lot fucking cloudier. And if you smell it, man, you can smell those hops. Although, this one's got a fair bit of fucking citrus, I suppose you'd call it. It's got a real fruity sort of fucking nose about it.
Very, smells like mandarin.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Yeah, mandarin. Fucking buckle head to speak of. And the head that is there, she's dark and stormy.
Dissipated pretty fucking quickly.
So, let's fucking whack into this shit.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, see, there's no fucking around with that, man. You can taste the fucking hops clean up front.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, she goes down well enough. Like, the biggest problem I've got with the IPAs, I suppose, is, and, you know, this probably comes with not being that much of a paler beer drinker in general, is I can't see myself drinking a lot of it. Like, this is probably one of the better IPAs that I've had. Like, that James Squires fucking IPA was just, oh, rancid cat piss that had been boiled on a fucking tin roof for about 3 days. This isn't too bad. Like, I can't see myself having a big old fucking session on them. Especially because, you know, it's, yeah, the aftertaste is a bit fucking horrible, but nah, look, man, for an IPA and for a beer in general, I don't fucking mind it. And like I said, a 6.4%. As a standard, I mean, our beers over here aren't all that fucking strong. Like, I know you get a lot of your craft brewers, craft beers overseas that are fucking, you know, 8 to 12%, but that's almost on par with a fucking stout. So, We can see me having a couple on a fucking summer's day at least, anyway.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have a huge session on these ones. I probably wouldn't even finish a six-pack.
Nah. But, wouldn't be too bad with a nice fucking stew before you get into the serious drinking, though, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First couple would be...
Yeah. So, what do you give this for your uffing, bro?
I'm gonna give this a B.
Yeah, you know what, actually, I'll fucking give it a B too. Like I said, I'm more of a stout and porter man myself, but that's not too fucking bad. I don't mind that at all. So that's the Little Creatures IPA with a B resounding around the fucking house. So now we're just going to talk. So that was our booze review for this week. Now, I have got a couple of fucking news items to get to before we get to the reason we've got Mitch in today. So David Beckham's jumped on the whole putting his name on a fucking... booze this fucking last week. So he's partnered up with a company called Hay Club.
Yep, can't say I've ever heard of them.
Now, that well, they have been around for a fair while. They've been around for well over fucking 150-odd years.
Oh, really?
So he's fucking come out. He's released in Japan because apparently all the whiskey's fucking in Japan. That's the bottle.
Okay.
It looks like an overgrown fucking perfume bottle for starters.
It does. That's the first thing I thought of too.
Now, I've got a bit of a fucking problem with this one myself, because not only is this thing going to cost fucking an stupid amount of money, especially because, as you can see, it's even though it's a single grain, which means that it's got one grain in it, like a lot of scotches will use malted barley,
And
then they'll use a mixture of grains and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is a single grain, which basically means it's just fucking, you know, slightly aged friggin' vodka. As you can see from how fucking light a colour it is.
Yeah.
But it's got no fucking age on it.
No.
Which means it's either really, really young or has been been blended from several different batches of a single grain. So, yeah, no, look, man, I have seen the ad for it. It is a rather sweet-looking ad, but I think I'm going to give this one a miss myself. Unless somebody wants a semi-bottle, of course. But, yeah, so... he launched it in fucking, where was it, Malaysia, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Malaysia was one of the first countries to launch the whiskey, where you can also find it in Britain, China, Vietnam, Singapore, South Korea, and the United States. So, yeah, nah, look, man, I seen this and I'm like, you're a fuck knuckle of a fuck, hey. Like, look at it, man, look at it.
Yeah, no, it looks like something you'd go and get in a bloody chemist to...
Yeah, you know, something you'd fucking spritz yourself with before going out on a date.
Yeah.
It looks fucking ridiculous, man. And like I said, the ad, even though it looks smooth, it looks like fucking slightly tinged fucking vodka.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the fact that it's a single grain means it essentially is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So just another fucking excuse of celebrity bullshit. And they've come out and said part of the marketing campaign is it is for people who don't think they like whiskey. which by extension, I suppose, means, you know, it's for people who don't like whiskey but are just shameless fucking whores for fucking celebrity fucking involvement.
Yeah, yep. Oh, God.
My God, man. It's sad, actually, fucking. There's not a lot of good booze news this week. So, moving right along, on Kickstarter for the last few months, there's been a campaign for a new product that claims to add 3 years of aging in just one day to your whiskey.
Okay, how does that work?
Okay, so the reason you get all the flavours and shit that you do in your favourite scotches and whiskies is because they've been left to sit in these charred oak barrels for a number of years. So what happens is while this is going on, the spirit will seep into the wood and then it'll seep back out, and that imparts the colour, the flavour, rubs out some of the imperfections and the tannins and shit while you're at it. So what this crew reckon is... This laser-etched fucking stick that they've got, if you leave it in overnight by some weird fucking science magic, it will give you the characteristics and notes of an aged fucking scotch in just 24 hours.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, yeah, that's it in production there, sort of what they've cut it from. They just basically sort of get a lump of oak and then just get it cut. So you sit that in there. Now, this campaign has actually done quite well for itself. It's already garnered a bit over 250,000 more than the original goal. And the actual name of it, if you want to go out there and jump online, if you go to Kickstarter and look up Whiskey Elements. So, you know, like I said, it basically your better scotches acquire their taste after being aged in wooden barrels for anywhere from 10 to 20 years. You know, so the idea is that you put the wooden stick in, you know, your fucking scotch or your whiskey or your bourbon or whatever, and using a complicated process that they are calling accelerated transpiration through capillary action, you can rapidly age your whiskey in just 24 hours, resulting in a much smoother drink the next day. Now, they reckon it works on any and all whiskies.
Yep.
And they also reckon you can customise the flavour. So, you know, if you want a nice oaky fucking tang to it, or vanilla, maple, smoky, peaty.
You basically what, just infuse the wood or something with those?
Yeah, well, what they reckon is that it filters out acetaldehyde, which is one of the very many fucking things in alcohol that give you a fucking hangover, and it's something that the body can't. That's a natural byproduct of the distillation process that the body just can't handle.
Okay.
Which I found out in Proof by Adam Rogers. It's a really good fucking book.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, anyway. So they reckon, you stick this in, not only will it give it better flavour, more taste, bigger character, but it'll also help wipe out the fucking hangover that you get from a lot of the cheaper nasties. But not everybody's excited about this new product.
Why's that?
Well, apparently... Nick Morgan of Diageo told the spirit business that if people want to buy a bottle of unambitious whiskey and muck around with it, that's obviously their right. But isn't the danger that you will still end up with a young, one-dimensional drink, but one that just now tastes of wood? Now Gizmodo has also lashed out at the claim that the improvement is possible in just 24 hours, where they completed a, you know, sort of little taste test and found that the majority of tasters preferred the taste of the spirit before it had been fucked with by this stick. Now, admittedly, they did use Jack Daniels and Jim Beam, which have got their own very fucking clearly defined flavours and tastes to it. I mean, you can generally... Well, I know for a fact if it's Jim Beam, simply because of that kick that they have at the end of it, which I can't fucking stand. Yeah. And Jack Daniels has got a rather unique fucking character profile to it, you know what I mean? You know you're drinking it because of this slightly syrupy fucking sweetness that goes all the way through it, sort of like somebody's dumped a bunch of fucking powdered sugar. So, I don't know, man, but it looks like it's getting made because, like I said, it's already made 128,000 over its original fucking goal, and it's got 3,500 backers at the time as of, I think, about a fucking week ago. So... You know, look, man, I don't know if this is something that needs to happen. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess one of my questions is, like, looking at the pictures that we've got here, it looks like it's only a small, you know, it's like, doesn't even look like it's much longer than a pencil.
No.
Can you make them bigger and have it, you know, so that you can do a whole, you know, lot that you've produced of the drink and put that in there and do it overnight? Or does it have to be only small amounts?
Well, it's... The whole idea of it isn't for the producers, it's for the end user. So just you wanted to go buy yourself. And once again, like, especially with scotches and whiskies, because they're fucking all blended.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, fair enough, if you wanted to get yourself a nice bottle of, say, I don't know, 10-year-old Able Out, which they're not making anymore, or fucking a bottle of, you know, Glenfiddich 12 or 18-year-old, right? And you wanted to fucking mature that.
Yeah.
You can do it, though. For shits and kicks.
Hmm.
You go put it in a decanter, just like the one that's sitting in the top of my cupboard there.
Yep.
Tip it in, tip your fucking stick in, and then you've just added 3 years through science magic in 24 hours. So it's for the people at home who want to fucking get a bit hoity-toity and fancy with their spirits. But, I mean, you can buy Mini Cooper barrels for your own consumption, you know what I mean? I've got two of them sitting here, one that's fucked and one that isn't. So, you know, my grandparents fucking were great for it. They had one fucking bottle of scotch, or two bottles of this single malt scotch, that was left aging in this fucking little barrel. They cost about $200. They fit, I think, a litre and a half.
Okay.
And it does the same thing, because as soon as you just stick them in fucking wood, they start the aging process again because it seeps into the wood, and that whole process keeps happening. Yeah. And they had this sitting in there for about 5 or 6 years. You know what I mean? And to me personally, that's what I would rather do, because you're going to get a lot more natural fucking organic sort of flavour from it. And, you know, you'd only really do shit like this for... Because, I mean, it takes time. You can't cheat fucking time. You know, so I've been thinking about it myself for a while because, you know, I'd love to go get a couple of these barrels, stick in a decent bottle of fucking 12 or 18-year-old, and then when the kids turn, you know, 18 or 21, bust it open.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just let it fucking sit there. You know, you suffer a bit of loss, but who gives a fuck about that? What you're getting at the end of it is well worth the fucking wait.
Worth it. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if that's your sort of fucking bag, baby, well, why the fuck not? So if you want to throw your support behind the cause, like I said, jump onto Kickstarter, look up a Whiskey Elements, it's called. So I have got one more bit of news. I think it's one more bit of news. Yeah, one more bit of news. Okay, now this is for all the beard aficionados out there. There's a new app out there called Bristler. Or Bristler, as they prefer it to be called. I am not fucking kidding you.
Is it made for pirates?
No. By that name? No. Okay, so this is what they say. This is from their media kit. Bristler, much like Tinder, is a networking site for finding people you might like to meet up with. Where Bristler differs from other dating sites is they're focused on beards.
Oh, God.
Okay. Oh, yes. So instead of asking if you're single or taken or you're looking for men or women, it simply asks you one question. Do you have a beard? And then you can find people near you who either have beards or are looking to meet people with beards. Now, it also has another... It also has like a beard rating option, so you can sort of, you know, go through rate my beard sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
And there's another site out there that does that so much fucking better, just quietly. And, you know, you can also see how well a potential date's beard ranks compares to other bearded locals. And if two people like each other, then they're free to exchange messages. So it's pretty much, you know, essentially it's like fucking Tinder or Grindr.
Tinder with beards.
Yeah, it's Tinder with beards. So it was created by a fellow by the name of John Kershaw, who's 28 and lives in Manchester. Now, he originally came up with the idea as a joke. And when he's not creating beard-related social networks, he's a freelance software developer. So I've seen this and I laugh, man. I had to fucking laugh, you know what I mean? So I've looked at a couple of reviews of the service itself, and they sort of liken it more to OkCupid than Tinder.
Yep. See, I like the idea of as like a, you know, you go onto websites, you know, your dating websites and stuff. It's like, you know, what do you like to do? What job do you have? And all this sort of stuff. I just imagine going on that and it being your questions are, okay, do you have a beard? Yes or no? How long is it? How thick is it? that being all the answers that it needs. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I shouldn't be as surprised as I was because, I mean, you've got fucking, you know, hookup apps for just about every fucking kink and orientation available.
That is true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're into men and if you're a man who's into men, you jump on Grindr and I know there's one for
the female
fucking persuasion. Then you've got, like, Tinder, that you've got your OkCupid, you've got your fucking adult friend find or your fuckbook or your alt friend finder, I think it is.
Not
or something
sure.
Like that.
Yeah, there's like
something like that. Yeah,
that sort of crap.
I'm revealing too much about myself, but you can find kink. You can find your kink fucking anywhere you fucking want to go. You know what I mean? So apparently the process is actually pretty easy. All you got to do is log onto the website, put in your email, get an activation link, click it, and then off you fucking go. Now there's no fucking personality quizzes. You know, so what would your perfect date be, fucking, what do you like to do, all that sort of fucking yip-yip shit that takes forever. The closest they reckon that it comes to asking your gender or sexual orientation is the one box that says, I have a beard.
Right.
And that's it. It doesn't fucking ask if you're a man, woman, something in fucking between. Doesn't ask if you're straight, gay, something in between. It's just, I got a beard.
Yeah.
And then you just go from fucking there. You know what I mean? It doesn't ask you what you're fucking looking for, whether you're looking for a commitment, a fucking hookup, a fucking friends with benefits or whatever the fuck. So, you know, you go along and you just look at some photos, you fucking heart the ones that you think are fucking all right and you'd like to fucking, you know, fucking get into a conversation with, and it's up to them to fucking get back to you. So it's a basic dating
app, yeah.
Without a lot of the fucking bullshit, which is really cool. So, yeah, between that and the fact that there's now been lumbersexuals have been announced.
I'm sorry, what?
Lumbersexuals are now a thing, apparently.
Okay.
They even have... This is connected to this Bristler app, apparently.
Right, okay.
But, apparently just when we thought the hipster beard was finally fucking going to die, because it just casts a pall of shame on all bearded fucking men everywhere. Nope, we're talking about the rise of the lumbersexual now.
new style trend that has turned brawny men into a sexual icon. So Gorka defines this new type of sexual as the foil to the metrosexual, the alleged nadir of masculinity from the last decade. So instead of slim leg pants, envision pants with a little extra leg room, i.e. normal fucking jeans.
Yeah.
Rather than be clean shaven, the lumbersexual has an unkempt beard. The metrosexual is clean and pretty and well-groomed. The lumbersexual spends the same amount of money but looks filthy. Satirically speaking, a lumbersexual is a delicate tri-blend of L.L. Bean, Timberlake and Sears. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. This is it's getting so sad.
It's getting a little bit fucking ridiculous, man. Oh. So you move along and the lumbersexual is bar hopping, but he looks like he could fell a Norway pine. His backpack carries a MacBook Air, but it looks like he should carry a lumberjack's axe.
Oh, my God. It needs to stop.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, apparently this hasn't fucking been inspired from the gay community. Apparently, while the lumbersexual can be straight, in fact, most of them are, we apparently... Yeah, I'm not going to go into that fucking hateful shit, but yeah. So, that's also fucking going to fucking put a lot of the fucking spotlight on Bristler. So, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? If you've got a fucking beard and you want to be a tool, why don't get yourself some fucking plaid shirts and some fucking jeans? And, of course, that $400 fucking axe that just sits in your fucking room and does nothing except when you want to take a picture or look cool.
Does axe body spray count?
Yeah, fuck me. It's just fucking sad, man.
I am glad they said, though, it's not like, oh, this is, you know, specifically gay men that look like this. You know, it's...
No, it is an offshoot of the... It's the next evolution of the hipster look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're going to see designer jeans, designer fucking plaid shirts. Oh, and fuck, I can see it. I can see it now. Oh, it scares me, man. It scares me a lot. So let's move on to some... Well, actually, I don't know if this is happier news or not. This is a rather fucking negative fucking episode when I sit down and think about it, at least till the fucking end of it. You recently unboxed the new World of Warcraft expansion you were telling me.
I did. Warlords of Draenor came out on Thursday. And as of today, I finally managed to get in because just like almost every other expansion they've had come out, first couple of days are just full of queues and bad servers and just horrible times, you know. I got on, like, you know, only a few weeks ago, we finally had Australian servers going to WoW.
Yep.
That was something we haven't had since it launched, you know, what, 15 years? No, it's not even 15 years.
A long time ago.
It's an older game now, yeah.
Fucking hell.
Maybe 11 or 12, I think. Something like that. Something like that, anyway. And, you know, we've never had Australian servers. We've had Oceanic, but they were based in some Asian country of some description, whether it was China or... wherever. And that's just what we had to go through. Now we've got one's based in, I think it's Sydney. So we've got decent ping. We've got, you know, we can actually play the game the way it should be played. and so trying to get onto this expansion, all these Aussies are getting on at the same time onto these servers. You know, we're not spread out across American servers and stuff anymore. First time I tried to get on was the Friday. I didn't get on the Thursday.
Yep.
I was 3,800 in queue.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, I was not playing that game.
I honestly thought World of Warcraft was fucking dead. You know what I mean? Like
it gets that way, doesn't it? It has those lulls in it.
Well, I mean, it was one of the first, if not the very first, sort of real big fucking MMORPG.
Yeah.
To really fucking have any longevity. And I mean, good on it, but fuck. Because I remember playing the original Warcrafts.
Yeah.
You know, the original RTS fucking, like, my first game, computer game that I ever really sat down and fucking played was Warcraft 2.
Yeah.
That I got at a fucking scout jamboree, and I come back and I had to fucking, that's what first introduced me to DOS too, actually, come to think of it, because I had to launch it and run it in fucking DOS.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember that, and I remember when fucking Warcraft 3 and then Frozen Throne come out, and I'm like, oh, yep, cool, this is cool, this is getting a bit away from what I fucking loved about it, and then... When World of Warcraft came out, I was like,
what is this? It's so different. I mean, I love the lore of Warcraft. I think it's fantastic.
And that's the thing that's always fucking dragged me to it too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the book for World of Warcraft, for Warcraft 2 was no shit fucking the size of me thumb.
Yeah.
And it was three or four pages of fucking, this is how you play the game. And the rest was lore.
Lore, yep.
You know what I mean?
You know, and that's the thing that really made me want to get into this expansion for sure. Because I used to play WoW like religiously. That was my game.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, I started just slowing down, getting into other things, all that sort of stuff. And I have played the other expansions and everything. Like, I didn't quit WoW. I just slowed down.
Yeah.
And then I saw this one was coming out, and it's... I'm not sure. I haven't played enough of it to really know, but I'm not sure if it's like a time travel type thing or what it is, but the Iron Horde's attacking, and it's made up of, like, Grom Hellscream and Gul'dan and all these people that were in, you know, Warcraft 2, or at least Warcraft 3 anyway. I mean, Grom died in Warcraft 3. That was, like, the big thing for Thrall and everything, was his best friend died. Now he's back, and he's fighting against Thrall, you know, and it's like, man, this is... What's going on? I want to know what's happening here, you know? So it made me really want to get in. And not being able to play the game is what's made me want to play more. You know, the fact that I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get on and play WoW for an hour before I go to work or whatever.
It's the theory of exclusivity.
That's right. That's it. You know, it's... If I had been able to just get on, like, as soon as it came out, get in, play the game... not care about what was going on, you know.
Yeah, you still would have been into it, but it wouldn't have been such a big fucking, you know, I need to fucking see what the fucking buzz is about.
It was the fact that I'm like, okay, I'll play the game for a bit, you know, sit down, put it on. Oh, you're, you know, 4,000 NQ. Hang on, what?
Now, back up a minute. What's this NQ shit? Because I'm a complete noob when it comes to this sort of thing.
All right, sorry. So there's a population cap on each server, which they've actually made smaller at the moment for stability. Yeah, issues.
Yep.
I'm not sure actually how many it is, but it's basically that cap's been reached. You will be in when this many people leave.
Oh, shit.
So when 3,000 odd people have gotten out of the game, have gotten bored and stopped playing for the day, then you'll get in.
This game, which is famous for having fuckers play it for 2, 3, 4 days fucking straight.
I mean, the estimated time that's on that queue window, it's like, you know, you'll be in for this long. It bounces all over the place. There was at one stage there, like this morning I finally got on, like I said, and I was like 1,500 in queue still, which was still fucking ridiculous, but I thought, you know what, that's the lowest I'll probably ever see it, so I'm going to play it. It originally said, you know, you'll probably be in queue for, we'll say an hour. I went, I got chores to do, I can deal with that.
Yeah, you know, go do a bit of housework, have a coffee.
Have a shower, all that sort of stuff before I play, because this was 7 o'clock or so in the morning, you know. I'm like, all right, that's fine. I'll leave it go. I'll be back. Came back in an hour, and I was down to, I think, about 500, you know, still to go. But now it was telling me I was going to be still another 3 hours.
Jesus.
Like, hang on. How did that happen? Is it because all these... like, it's not like anyone else has just gotten on in front of me. That couldn't possibly happen, surely. Does it mean that these people that are on there look like they've settled in to do a big event or something?
I was just about to say, yeah, I dare say they've got an algorithm based on fucking...
What everyone's doing behavior. Or something.
And okay, so this fucking... there's average fucking playtime of this, and then all the fucking fuckers are like, oh, I've played it for fucking, you know, a couple of hours. I'm fucking right to go actually live a life.
Yeah.
And now it's just down to the hardcore fucking nerds who are like,
yeah. I'm going to raid for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I think I'm going to raid, but I'm going to build some XP.
But I mean, to be fair, like, I walked in, went, 3 hours, what? And then it quickly changed over to like 10 minutes. So it just bounces all over the place. It'll say, oh, calculating. Oh, now it's going to be ages. Oh, no, it'll only be a few minutes.
Oh, that would shit.
That was what pissed me off the most, because I thought, oh, fucking 3 hours. I won't cancel it just in case that is all that's happening. So I'm like, okay. I'll go off and, you know, make myself some breakfast. I came back and I was in the game. I'm like, oh, shit, never mind. All right, cool. but, yeah, it was just bizarre to see. And, yeah, that was the thing, like, that exclusivity theory. You know, it was, I really want to play this game, but I basically can't for the next 4 hours because of this queue.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I don't care.
Now, down to the actual game itself, do you know if there's any real changes to the mechanics or whether it was just extra loot, different fucking storylines you could play through?
It's very different.
Very different?
It actually, I mean, the core concept is still the same. It's still WoW, you know, like, they haven't changed major things.
Yeah.
But sort of in the, because they always do a pre-patch before the expansion to change over, like, the basic stuff so everyone can play it, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the things they did was the stat squish, which, I mean, they've done, well, this is the 5th, I think, expansion now. And every time there's a new expansion, there's a new level cap, and so your stats are going up in number.
Oh, okay.
So as of like the last one, yeah, you were getting gear that had, you know, an extra 500 odd, you know, of a certain stat strength or whatever. That's getting a bit big. And, you know, like you're having people run around with multiple millions of health.
Oh, it's get like, fucked.
Well, I mean, that's just the way it was because you're constantly leveling up. Even just the creatures and stuff had that much. That was just the way it was.
Yeah.
So they decided, you know what? We're going to do a squish. And what that basically means is that as standard, we're reducing all the numbers. You're still pretty much, you'll still kill something in the same amount of time and everything. It'll just look like less.
Yeah, they'll update the fucking, reduce everything by a factor of fucking whatever.
Yeah. So basically now instead of having, you know, plus 600 agility on a gun, you'll now have plus 50.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like it's like, what the fuck? How am I supposed to... But it makes sense overall.
Yeah, everything's kept to a fucking... Everything's kept into a specific ratio.
Yeah, it's a ratio then. That's right.
I remember those old... I think they still do them on Facebook occasionally. The friggin' text-based fucking MMOs you could play.
Yeah.
And you could fucking level up to like level fucking 1 million in a fucking week and a half. And it's just... I checked the fuck out because it goes beyond a fucking realm of believability.
Yeah.
And it just becomes stupid mythic fucking bullshit.
I'm hitting that spider for 400 billion K. You know, that's a lot of damage.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, get fucked, idiot. It's a fucking sword or a fucking
stick. That's right.
Stick
and that was the thing. Like, I mean, at the end of this last expansion, yeah, we were running around and, I mean, I'm definitely not like high end compared to some of the other people that play, but, you know, I was doing, you know, thousands of damage. You know, there was people I saw that was doing, you know, 5 million damage in one shot. You know, I was like, fuck me, that's a lot of damage. Now they're doing a lot less, like maybe 50,000 is a lot for them now.
Jeez, and it's still fucking a lot.
It is still a lot, but it just looks weird to look at now and you think about how much we've gone up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm totally okay with it. A lot of people I've heard complaining, like, I miss my big numbers. I want to see my big numbers. I'm okay with it. Like, I know why they did it. But, yeah, that's one thing that was sort of like, that was weird timing, but I like it. But another thing that I actually did find a bit strange is they've changed a lot of the character classes, so a lot of their abilities are just totally gone or have been changed.
Right.
So what they've basically done is, like, tried to make it a little bit more simpler, I guess, to use. For instance, like, my character I play is a hunter, and... one of the things that you always used to keep in your rotation was a serpent sting, which was basically just like a poison arrow. And, you know, you just try and keep it on during a fight.
Ah, okay, yep.
Easy enough, you know, not a problem to do. They've gotten rid of that attack now. And the other thing with serpent sting was when you use your other attack that got your stat, your mana type, you know, bar up, would refresh it as well, so you only really had to hit that once on an enemy and you had it on there all the time.
Okay, cool.
Now they've gotten rid of that, and now a spell that used to be in the game that you didn't really use all that much does that, but it doesn't refresh it. So now you've got to keep an eye on how long it's on. It's only on for like 5 seconds or 10 seconds or something, so it's like, God damn it, I'm trying to, you know, pay attention to what I'm actually doing, but I have to keep checking that and going back and putting that on. And
Which is taking it back to fucking, you know, how the paper and pencil RPGs...
Well, yeah, there is that. Like, I mean, you are still... you have to pay a little bit more attention and stuff. But it was the fact that they said, you know, we're making it simpler. We're going to drop it down so you only maybe have 6 core abilities instead of 13 or whatever and, you know, make it a bit easier. But now you've got to pay that extra attention that's like, I just want to be able to sit back and play.
Okay, cool. So overall, what are your thoughts, man? Are you happy with the expansion? Do you think they're going in a good direction with it?
So far, yeah. I'm really enjoying it. Like, I mean, I played for maybe an hour this morning. And just primarily doing the new quests. And it was a lot of fun. You know, I got to go on top of a giant, like, world breaker tank and blow up a portal. And, you know, it was fun. You know, it was good fun. I can't wait to play a little bit more. Hopefully when I get home, I can actually get in and play without a queue.
Yeah, no,
see what
nice.
Happens. But
good luck, but...
I've done 2 nights in a row of maintenance.
Holy fuck.
Like, multiple hour-long maintenance, so no one could play anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, you know, even if they do that again tonight, they can get the capacity back to the way it should be.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
But I mean, yeah, overall, really good.
Cool. So if you were to give the new expansion, what was the name again?
Warlords of Draenor.
Warlords of Draenor. So if you were to give the World of Warcraft expansion, Warlords of Draenor, a official Drunken Beersman rating, what would you give it?
Man, you know, I'd probably give it at least a B.
At least a B. Yeah. Fuck, that's all right.
Because, I mean, as a casual player, like, I can't say, oh, you know, the raids are this good or anything like that. So I can't say, you know, any more than that. But just from me playing it, the little bit I have, yeah, I'd say a good B.
So initial thoughts is a fucking solid B from Stark. Yep. Now, what else has been going on in the fucking world of games here? What's the go with this Sunset Overdrive, man? I've been hearing a lot of good things about it, but because I'm still stuck on the old generation of consoles, I've got no fucking hope in hell.
Sunset Overdrive is, I think, one of the best games that's come out this year.
Oh, really?
It is legitimately just so much fun and just, oh, it's such a good game. It's colourful, it's fun, it's fast-paced, you know, it's just awesome.
So why don't you fill us in on the premise of the game? What the fuck are you doing in this game?
Basically what this game is that a company called Fizco have made this new energy drink called Overcharge. What is it? Overcharge something. I can't think of the subtitle, but it's an energy drink that they're releasing just in this one city for now as like a soft launch type thing. And everyone who drinks it is becoming a mutant.
Nice.
It's not zombies or anything like that. They're just like, they've got big orange boils on them and they're mutated. To the point where, you know, some of the bigger ones that are called the Herkers are these giant tank of things that have got like parts of excavators and stuff in them. Like one of their arms is a scoop off of a backhoe, you know, and there's leaf blower ones that shoot slime out of their arms and stuff like that. It's just a lot of fun to kill them. But that's basically like the premise is that, yeah, Fizco's done this. This energy drink has been released in the city. And you were a janitor for Fizco. You were at the launch event just cleaning up all the cans and stuff with all the jocks and all these other people drinking their drink. And you end up getting caught up in all this and you're like, you know what? I think I can survive and thrive in this apocalypse, you know. I'm gonna help out. I'm going to get this, you know, try and work out a way to stop them all and everything and have a bit of fun doing it. There's a lot of almost parkour elements to the game. It's a third person shooter type game.
That's made by Insomniac. I haven't seen anything from them in fucking years, to be honest.
I mean, I could be wrong. Don't totally quote me on this, but I think it's the first Xbox game they've made, from what I recall, because they're typically PlayStation, because they made, I think it was Ratchet and Clank, and that sort of thing. I think that was them.
It's their first exclusive Xbox game.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they released Fuse on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
Right. Okay. Yep.
So yeah, no, they've been predominantly a PlayStation fucking game because I mean they're the ones who made, you know, Spyro, Ratchet and Clank,
yeah,
Resistance,
yeah.
Fucking Outer Nauts and shit. So, nah, cool. Continue. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Yeah, no, it's their first Xbox game exclusive game, which. I've talked to a few people who play PlayStation, you know, exclusively, and they are pissed because they are so jealous of the fact that we've gotten this just amazing game.
Yeah, well, they do good games. Like they I said, really man, are. I'm looking through what they have made and nothing in this is fucking bad. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Spyro was a fucking brilliant game when it first came out and fucking Ratchet and Clank was a shitload of fun. Like, it really was. I never got a chance to play Resistance. Mainly because
I've played little bits of Resistance. I think I played the second one fully, and I mean it's different. It's a first person shooter, but it's, you know, having guns that shoot through walls and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. No, they're good fun games. Yeah, they make quality product. But yeah, this game, you know, it's you have a style meter, and the whole thing is, you know, you grind on power lines and on poles and stuff, and bounce off the top of cars, and you'll bounce multiple feet into the air and get more points the more you do it, and like that'll make you do different abilities and stuff like that. And it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Fuck yeah, that's the way.
And they're unconventional weapons, which, I mean, you have the one gun that's just like a handgun, which is typical for most games, but then you've got one that shoots records out of it and they like, you know, bounce between enemies. You've got one that's a giant like bowling ball launcher, like launches flaming bowling balls, and a thing that's like made out of a Fizco mascot doll that shoots like acid. It's like a sprinkler that shoots out acid. You know, it's got so much just little fun things like that to play with. And yeah, you get points for each one. And you upgrade them and you can equip these things called amps to them, which will mean that, like, say for instance, the Dirty Harry, which is just a pistol. You put an amp on that makes, you know, flaming bullets, or it'll stun the enemy, or...
Oh, okay, so it's like an upgrade fucking modifier.
Basically, you know, there's a chance it'll cause a mini nuke when you kill an enemy with it. That's a legit thing that you can have on those guns.
Fuck yeah.
And you have amps for like yourself, like your hero as well. And, you know, like with your style meter, it goes up to 4 levels. You know, when you hit level 3, when you're grinding along a rail, you might have flames, you know, spewing out the side of you as you're grinding along. Or when you're bouncing on the roof of a car, it'll explode around you and kill enemies around you then. And just stuff like that. And it just makes it so much more like customizable and a lot more fun. And the storytelling in the game is just brilliant. The way they've done it is your character doesn't have a name. He's just player. And a lot of the time he will break the fourth wall and stuff like that. And it's just in the best way possible. There's one stage there, like without spoiling too much with it, there's a character that just keeps calling you asshole. And you're like, hey, my name isn't asshole. Stop calling me that. And this guy's like, well, what is it then? And you turn around and you're just like, I'm not really sure. My name comes up above my head in multiplayer, but I can't really see it properly.
Oh, so some fourth wall breaking.
It's
bullshit.
Got a lot of fourth wall breaking. Yeah. And like, just like gaming trope, you know, things it talks about. And yeah, there's a character's like, oh, you know, what are you going to do with this gun in your face? And you're like, well, I've got lots of guns. And he points at the screen and your weapon wheel opens up and shows all your different guns that you've got to equip. You know, it's just the way it's done is perfect. You know, you're doing like a siege on a building at one stage, like it was a side mission, I think, and you're running in and they're like, oh, for glory and all this sort of stuff. And you're just like, hey guys, just so you know, I'm not sure about you guys, but when I die, I'll respawn over there. So you sure you don't want me to go in there? And it's just silly shit like that. This makes it just.
Fuck yeah, man. No, that's fantastic.
You're not supposed to take it seriously. That's for sure.
Nah, that's awesome. Yeah. I was just reading up on it then. And, apparently, you know, they've borrowed a lot of influences from shit, you know, like Tank Girl, I Am Legend, the Young Ones of all fucking things, Hyena Men of Kenya. It sounds like a fucking really great game. So let's move on to the rating system, man. What would you give this fucking game that is getting an incredible amount of fucking buzz at the moment and is looking to be some amazing fucking award-winning shit?
Well, man, that's what I was going to say. Like, honestly, I would give it maybe not an A plus, but an A.
A solid fucking A.
Because it I don't think I had any single problems with the game at all. Like, I don't think I had any game breaking bugs or anything like that.
Fuck yeah.
I just enjoyed the hell out of it. Like, I'm going to 100% it, like, just get all the rest of the collectibles and stuff after I've played some other stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just such a brilliant game.
Oh, fantastic. So that's a Sunset Overdrive getting an A from honorary drunken beersman Stark. So, fucking COD Advanced Warfare finally came out fucking just recently.
Yeah. I think that might have been Tuesday. No, actually, it might have been the week before. I know Halo was out Tuesday.
I don't know, man. I'm fucking...
Something
God.
Like that.
God, you're going to play COD, go get double taps of motherfuckers. Yeah!
Yep. Got a prestige 5 times and, you know, be the top ranking MLG garbage. I'm not into playing the multiplayer as much as like my little brother is. But no, I got in and I played through the story over the weekend. Holy fuck, that was actually really good. It was a really good story.
Yeah?
I mean, previous COD games have been so just like, you're watching an action movie. You know, there's big explosive events and...
Well, I didn't mind the single player storyline for the first Modern Warfare and the first Black Ops.
So yeah, they were both really good.
You know, but essentially I've only ever really played them beyond that for zombie Nazis.
Yeah.
Like, I'll admit.
I mean, that's generally what I do too. Like, I basically play the story mode and, I mean, I might do a couple games online or a little bit of like, yeah, they have survival game type stuff. In different games, it's different things. And so, yeah, playing this one, like, I actually started this one on multiplayer because my little brother had stolen my Xbox and was playing it.
You bastard.
We bought him one because I was sick of him using it.
Here, fuck off into your little grotto and leave my shit alone, asshole.
I'll have to tell you the rest of that story at some point.
That's
basically what happened.
Oh, I love it.
So, yeah, you
know,
I actually...
You know what's sad? I have that same problem with my kids.
Yep. At least your kids, you can sort of really get up and stuff. If I get up Mason, it's like... Mum and dad will come down on me like a ton of fucking bricks.
No, I still can't because then they go cry to the missus.
Well, I mean, yeah.
The missus is like, that man asshole, Daniel.
Well, that's true. That's true. but anyway, yeah, I started this one on the multiplayer and it was fucking fun. Because, I mean, the main like draw to this one was that you now have an exosuit, and it's basically like this piece of technology that goes down your arms and on your legs and stuff that makes you jump higher, you know, lets you do double jumps, lets you fucking punch people halfway across the map, like launch them across the map, you know. You can dodge multiple directions with like thrusters and stuff.
Yeah, so what they're working on in fucking real life.
Yeah, like, you know, I think Edge of Tomorrow is what a lot of people are comparing it to.
It's it's the most recent sort of iteration of the whole fucking exosuit idea.
That's right. Fucking cool. Like, you know, being able to like, typically, you know, you're playing COD, you're sort of generally on one plane, you know, like it's one level. There's no real verticality to it.
Yeah, no, you run upstairs in a couple of buildings.
And yeah,
really
there might be the
it.
Odd ladder or something. And that's basically it. You're like, oh shit, I know. You know, even in that case, you know where they're going to be if they're going to be up there, so you know where to look. This game, you've got to keep your eyes open because just about every roof you can get on top of, you know.
Nice.
You could think, oh, you know, someone might come running around that corner, but instead of coming running around, they might fucking boost around and be behind you before you even see them there. And it's so fast-paced and just so fun to play. Being someone who doesn't generally play it, and the fact that I was actually getting a decent amount of kills and, you know, just enjoying playing it, and I didn't have many people telling me that they had fucked my mum, that was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did that. And then I spent most of the rest of the time before playing the story this weekend playing their Exo Survival Mode, which is another, like, yeah, you know, wave-based... You know, do a round of enemies coming at you.
Fucking horde mode.
Do it again. Yeah. Again, a lot of fun because, yeah, you have your exo suit. They actually have exos as well. Like, the AI has basic exos.
Thing. Yep.
Each round you get, like, a certain amount of points so you can go and buy another weapon or upgrade yours or make... You get exo upgrades that are, like... You can take more damage, or you can have your guns have a better fire rate or do more damage or whatever. And you're like, your kill streaks from multiplayer?
Yeah.
They're in it as well. You buy them or get them in like a drop, and it's like, okay, go off and use that. So my little brother, myself, and one of his best friends were all playing it because there was actually... a thing you could unlock by doing a certain amount that you actually get a zombie skin for multiplayer. So you run around as a zombie. Because a lot of the multiplayer has full-on customization, like armor, skins, all that. And you had to... It was a bit of a pain in the ass. You had to do 50 levels or 50 rounds in tier one. They're not difficulty. It's just like different tiers. Levels, different setup and stuff. Yeah. So you had to do 50 rounds of tier one, which didn't have to be all in one sitting. Like, they were just split up just in total. 75 rounds of tier 2 and then 100 rounds of tier 3 and then get to round 10 in tier 4, and that was, you got a zombie level and you got your skin.
Yeah, nice.
Because they are bringing zombies out for this game, like the zombie mode, but it'll be DLC, of course. But this was like a teaser for that.
Yep.
So yeah, you get the zombie skin for it. So we pretty much spent 4 afternoons, like, because I was on the morning shift, you know, finishing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Get home, and we'd spend from 2 o'clock until probably 8 o'clock at night playing that. And it was a ton of fun. Like, you know, it was only the three of us. You know, you can do it with 4 people. We just did it with the 3. And, you know, having one of us go down and being like, fuck, who's going to go get him? I'll go get him. You keep an eye on, you know, enemies that are going to kill me and all that sort of shit. It was so fucking good.
Oh, that's good. So it seems they have slightly redeemed themselves.
Definitely. And then, yeah, I got into the single player. And I was expecting the same shit as always, you know, big explosive moments, cutscenes that are basically just like a computer screen saying, this is where you're going, this is what's happening there, go out and do it. They start looking like that. Like, you get into it and it's like, okay, this is a map, there's lines pointing where rockets are going or something, and you're like, all right, whatever. Then it zooms out and you're seeing your characters actually sitting there like it's a briefing, and then they'll be talking to each other and the boss comes in and all this sort of stuff. It's like, oh, fuck, it's an actual cutscene. This is cool.
Oh, yeah, no, man.
You know, some of the games you'll get like a little gadget, you know, like a little drone or something, and it's like, oh, I don't know where that came from. All right, cool, I guess I'm using it. There was at one stage in this one where there was a cutscene where your character was sort of looking at it going, oh, fuck yeah, this is cool. How does this one work? And, you know, testing it out and playing with it before you got into the game and were using it properly.
Yeah.
And, I mean... It was just really well done. The main character's voiced by Troy Baker, who is in fucking everything now. And the main character's name is Mitchell. So, Sorry, oh, but that was immediately like, I'm voiced by Troy Baker. I'm happy with this. and it was just genuinely really, really good.
Nice.
It spanned multiple years, and as you're going through the years, you see like the main character's hair grows. You know, it's not just like he looks typical white male through the whole thing. Doesn't change.
Yeah, they've been doing that the last couple games. I think
they have
really
a little bit
stepped up their fucking engines with shit. Like
well,
that.
Yeah, there's that. But I mean, like this one's legitimately like you can see he's different. Like his attitude changes, the way he looks at the world changes throughout. I think it's like 10 years or something all up.
Fuck.
So I mean, yeah, really well done, and just like it's got I can't believe I forgot to mention Kevin Spacey is like the main. It's hard to say whether he's antagonist or whatever he is. He's a weird character in it.
Yeah, he's morally ambiguous.
Yeah, I mean, he is a bad guy eventually, but he's sort of you're on his team at the start because you were best friends with his son. It's a bit complicated at the beginning, but he does a brilliant job.
Fantastic. So, give this bitch a rating. What are we looking at?
I'll say probably a C, because it is, again, it's just another COD.
Yeah, it is another COD.
But they've changed enough of it that it is a lot of fun. And I think I could see myself going back and playing it again, you know, in a few months' time, because there's DLC coming out or something. I think I'll see myself doing it.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I'll go with a C.
Nice. Hey, all you crazy kids, it's Drunkle Dan. Gonna have to cut it short right there, just for a couple of days. I think you might have noticed before, we can waffle on quite a fair while when we've got Stark in studio. So, not going to release them a week apart, just going to release them a couple of days apart, just to make it a bit more easy to consume. So, if you want to track down Mitchie Poos online, you can find him on the Twitter, at GhostOfStark92. You can also track him down on through the YouTubes at www.youtube.com/MitchellWeeks. Of course, you can find us at www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com. You can also track us down on the Twit machine at DrunkBeardsman. You can find me, my personal account, on the Twit machine at TheDrunkleDan. And of course, you can go ahead and give JD a follow. Why not? He's not here this week, but we'll give him a shout out anyway. You can find him at @unofficial_JD. And of course, you can always find us on Facebook, just to look for The Drunken Beardsman. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I will see you in a couple of days, but on the same drunk channel at the same bearded time. But until then, stay bearded and beautiful, people.
Just close your eyes and touch me in the beard.
It won't bite. You and my beard are gonna have a really nice time.
My beard,
it's waiting for you. And girl, you know I want you to. So put your hand up in my beard and see what you can find.
You don't have to be scared.
Just touch it, baby, yeah.
I've got facial hair.
Just put your hand right there.
There's magic in the air.
You darling, yeah, you really want to touch it for reasons you can't understand. Wanted so much, so baby, just retouch your hand
and touch me in the beard. Go ahead and touch me in the beard. I want you to hold it, stroke it, put your head inside and say goodbye to all your fears.
Just close your eyes and touch me in the beard.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of R vs. R Media. Theme song is Touch Me in the Beard and is provided with much gratitude by The Beards. Find more of their stuff at www.thebeards.com.au. Remember to go ahead and check out the website at www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com, where you'll find all our booze reviews, rants, and previous episodes of the podcast.
Tingles up and down your spine. Tears well up, emotions flow. Don't be scared, just let it all go. This is the moment dreams come true. So do I want you to do.